Sea Grant and Lake Michigan, Waters in Transition. A production of the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute. Episode 4, Surfing the Mid-Coast. All right. Well, we are back. And in this podcast, we have gone to Sheboygan, Wisconsin. We're stopping here at Dahlen Park. Maybe we'll get a glimpse of some surfers, though I kind of doubt it, because even though, as we speak, this is the end of May, it's kind of sunny. California, this would be surfing weather for sure. But that's not when people surf in Wisconsin. That's not when the surf season is. At least, that's what I've heard. Still, we're gonna go and listen to the lake here and see if we can see any surfers. If you're like me, when you think surfing, probably the first thing that pops in your head as far as a surfing destination is not Wisconsin. Might be Hawaii, might be California. But there is indeed a surf culture in Wisconsin. And it all started here in Sheboygan. Well, cowabunga. I've been able to track down two living legends of Wisconsin surfing. And they're going to tell you themselves how they brought surf culture to Wisconsin.
Aloha, my name is Larry Longboard Williams, born and raised in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, the heart of freshwater surfing in the world. I am now soon to be, along with my twin brother Lee the Waterflea Williams, be turning 60 years old and spent most of our life freshwater surfing, well over 47 years now. We are the co-founders of the Dairyland Surf Classic, the largest freshwater surfing competition in the world, held every Labor Day weekend for the past 25 years at Sheboygan, Wisconsin, Northside Beach. Yeah, we're here in Wisconsin, thousands of miles away from any ocean, but surfing is blossoming here. Where we're from is the number one hotspot in the freshwater surfing world. We're an hour north of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and an hour south of Green Bay, Wisconsin, right on the shores of Lake Michigan, right on the western shore of one-fifth of the world's freshwater. The Great Lakes encompass 11,000 miles of coastline, 8 states of the United States, 1 province of Canada. That's more coastline than the East and West Coast combined. People always laugh. It's a lake. How big can the waves get? Well, this past fall, we had record waves of 33 feet. That's a 3.5-story building. It'd make any saltwater surfer go slackjaw. It's a lake, but our lake, Lake Michigan, is 22,440 square miles of open water. That's not a lake. That's an inland ocean. It's 310 miles long and 110 miles across. You know, we wanted to make it big in our community to share the stoke of surfing and what we have, this wonderful beach lifestyle. And so many people talk about surfing as a sport. It's not so much a sport as it is a lifestyle. It's the colorful shirts we wear. It's the vehicles we drive, the vacations we take, the way we decorate our homes, the way we raise our children. And there isn't a sport in the world that has their own music. We've got surf music. So when somebody calls it a sport, we smile and share what we know. One of the things about growing up on the Great Lakes and sharing what we have is this aloha spirit, this kindness, this openness and sharing. You know, it may be this typical Midwestern attitude, but it's like no place on earth. It's not like California or Hawaii or Australia or the East Coast of the U.S. Many of those places you paddle out, you could get beat up, your surfboard taken away, yelled at, or sent out of the water. Here on the Great Lakes, you're welcome to join them. They'll loan you a surfboard and wetsuit if you don't have one. It's just a great place to be. It's this warm kindness, this sharing, this Midwest attitude that we call Aloha Spirit.
All right.
Is he perfect?
Yeah.
What are you listening for?
Oh, I'm just recording the sounds of the beach for a podcast I'm doing.
I see.
She's in it. Now we're all in it. How cold is the water? You guys are swimming, obviously.
It's pretty cold. We're trying to just, Greg, the one all black, we were going to go walk by the pier, and he brought a towel because he wanted to randomly get pushed in. So he went in, then he dared his brother to go in.
And I dared him to go in.
Except you didn't know it, and I'm just like, you know what, screw
it. What's the dog's name?
So then I just ran in.
I used to live in Northern California, and there the water's so cold, only little kids swim in it.
Oh, yeah.
Only little kids swim in it?
Yeah. You know how little kids are. They're warm.
When I lived in San Francisco, there's a couple places just north of there that are very famous yet dangerous. Are there comparable spots here on Lake Michigan or the Great Lakes?
There are quite a few spots. We've surfed for 45 years off of Sheboygan. It has some limestone outcroppings, piers, jetties, river mows. That's what a surfer is looking for. They're looking for structure. And we have quite a bit of that. Back in the 60s, 70s, when we were growing up, you had maps to look at. But now with technology and Google Earth, the younger surfers are going on their smartphones and mapping a whole coastline and going, yeah, there's a point there, there's a river mouth there, and there's this over here. So it's become more advanced. And also we have computerized buoys out in Lake Michigan. There's one that is off of Racine in the middle of the lake, and the north buoy is off of Washington Island on the north end of the lake. And they will tell you wind direction, wind speed, wind gust, surface water temp, and wave heights. You can access so much more information. We grew up two blocks from the lake. You'd open up the door and listen to see if you could hear it. That was a telltale sign for us. And then over the years, it was interesting for us to share with kids that would come down and watch, and how can I do this? Where can I buy this stuff? And we'd share boards and wetsuits, and little by little, the community has just grown. Not just in Sheboygan, but around all the lakes.
Do any of you guys ever go surfing? Do you know guys that surf?
I don't know how to surf. I have seen them surf.
It's really cool. I like it.
I've also seen them on the paddleboards. They're usually down in there, though, in the river.
They kind of go for cold water, don't they?
There are some out already. They go out all season.
What got you initially interested in surfing here?
My dad, during the war, was submarine rescue, so he'd put on a big brass bell helmet, the canvas suit, the lead boots, and go down on the bottom and weld up subs. When he got out of the military, he became first mate on some of the largest ore carriers on the Great Lakes. So water runs in our veins. He bought a house two blocks from the lake, and that's where we spent our summers, winters, springs, and falls. If your pants weren't frozen up to your knees and you didn't have snotsicles coming out of your nose, or the summer days, if you didn't wake up sunburned with your bed full of sand, you know you didn't have a good day the day before. A block away in an old alley with an old beat-up carriage shed, a bunch of teenagers older than ourselves started a club called Lakeshore Surf Club. We could hear the music that we enjoyed coming out of the doors, see the crazy way they dressed with their serapes, their long hair, their sandals. The cars they drove all had surfboards on top, and we wanted to emulate them. So we shadowed these guys until they saw our abilities on skimboards and body surfing, and later on with surfboards, and they said, come join us. And as young little kids, to be called in with these older boys was something special.
I see you guys have a book that you've written, Some Like It Cold, A Sheboygan Surfing Safari. When did this project get started?
The project actually started, about 4 years ago? It was odd how it came about. William Pavletic grew up in Mequon, right on Lake Michigan, and saw the waves and stuff like that, but never really gave it much thought that anybody would try to surf it. Well, he went to school in Oshkosh and then moved to Los Angeles to be an award-winning producer, director, and author. He had some friends that were surfers, and when they would find out that he was from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, they would ask, do you know those guys that surf in Sheboygan? And he thought, gosh, there's got to be something here. So he was home for the holidays 4 or 5 years ago and called us and said, hey, can we sit down and take a hour or two, I might like to do a little film documentary on surfing, because he was known for doing more film than authoring. So he said, sure. So we sat down over a few beers. Larry and I started telling stories from 1965 forward. And halfway through the night, he said, stop, there's more to this than a little documentary. I want to do a book. And at that point, you go, really? Seriously? You want to write a book about us? He says, yeah, there's a lot of story here. Give me 2 weeks or so, and I'll get back to you. I'm going to get a hold of publishers. We thought we'd never hear from him again. And lo and behold, 2 weeks later, he called and says, I've got a publisher. Let's get to work.
The book is about two twin brothers growing up, putting a little place like Sheboygan, Wisconsin, with his funny-sounding name and his funny accents, on the map internationally for a place to enjoy freshwater surfing. Why Sheboygan? It is the shoreline and the topography. It's this rocky outcropping called the Niagara Escarpment that creates rocky points that many surfers have called the Mount Everest of freshwater surfing. Huge, big barrels jump up on this limestone slab, creating these monstrous barrels that surfers all over the world are looking for. And then we've got points and reefs and river mouths, and the best part, no sharks. We've never had a reported shark attack. Surfers that come here look at this place, do you have any idea what you have here? And we smile and quietly say, yes, we do. And they've nicknamed it Kotu. And we're going, what is the acronym Kotu? And they said, Center of the Universe. It's where all the freshwater surfers want to be. And word got out, many of these saltwater surfers, surprisingly enough, come from Hawaii, California, or the East Coast, just to check out what freshwater surfing's all about. It's these storm fronts that come across the United States. Unlike any other ocean where thousands of miles away, you can see a storm rolling in, and you know that you've got 3 or 4 days before that swell comes to you. We may only have a window of a few hours, but we watch weather fronts and determine that low pressure fronts coming across the Great Lakes will produce rideable waves if we have winds of 20 to 25 miles an hour or more. Unlike the eastern shores of these lakes that don't get the benefits many times of the low pressures, our little town of Sheboygan, Wisconsin, which is exactly in the middle of Wisconsin's Lake Michigan shore, gets waves out of the north or northeast or south or southeast, where Chicago only gets waves out of the north. So we get more waves than almost any other place. We have quality topography that can support almost 22 breaks in a 5-mile stretch. And there's not too many places that can boast that kind of diversity. Come and find out what it's all about.
Is Lake Michigan the best lake for surfing out of the Great Lakes?
Well, of course, Lake Superior is the largest of the Great Lakes, so it can produce outstanding waves of 40 or even 50 feet under extreme conditions. Now, that's an open water swell. Once it gets to shore, you can cut that easily in half. And the biggest rideable waves are probably 10 to 12 foot. Anything other than that, it's like the North Sea, and it's out of control. What happens is a wave can hit something like a pier, a jetty, a rocky outcropping, and you've seen, even on calm days, a boat go by, and you can watch that wake travel for miles and miles and miles, and you wonder where those little waves come from. When we have big waves, those big waves can bounce back and create just an unruly mess out there that surfers won't even venture into. Lake Michigan has got some outstanding waves. All five of the Great Lakes have bragging rights for many different reasons. The biggest thing about the most popular places to surf on planet Earth is they're overcrowded or they're polluted. That's never the case here on the Great Lakes. And then when our peak surf season comes around, September, October, November, December, January, February, and March, you know, water temperature gets down to 33 degrees, air temperature gets down to 17, you get that 24 below wind chill factor. It really does thin out the crowds.
I was going to ask you guys a little bit about winter surfing. This seems like extreme cold.
Yeah, we're geared more with different thicknesses of wetsuits. During the summer would be a shorty in the warm water. In the fall, we go to what's called a 4-3 millimeter. Lake Michigan tends to lose about 10 degrees per month of temperature. So in August, it'll be in the 70s, September 60s, October 50s, November 40s, and by the end of December, in the mid to low 30s. The gear that's made now is much more flexible, and we're wearing boots, gloves, in 34-degree water with a 20-mile-an-hour wind, you could probably stay out for about 2 hours comfortably before your fingertips and your toes start to go numb. And that's a good indication that it's time to go in before hypothermia starts to set in. And anybody who surfs winter ought to know what the symptoms of hypothermia are, where you start to get a little delusional and you're starting to lose all the feeling in your feet and your hands. Stop right then, no matter how good the surf is, you have to go in.
I assume that you guys always are surfing in groups, so no one's ever out paddling alone.
There's always been, we surf with at least one other person. Yeah, it's a must.
Tell me about your guys' connection with Sea Grant.
Yeah, it was about 5 years ago that a 14-year-old young man drowned off of Northside Beach in Sheboygan. There was huge concern by the Common Council and the mayor and everything. What can we do to make it safer, better, etc.? When I heard that, because I've been around the Great Lakes and I've seen the rip current signs and warning signs that Sea Grant designed in several different languages. I called Sea Grant in Madison, and they said, absolutely, we're here for you. We'll send you some signs just to show you what they look like and brochures. And then once your city fathers decide what they really want to do, then we'll coordinate the signs where they need to go. We had a whole program designed by Sea Grant. We have solar-powered cell phone towers at all the beaches in case there's an emergency. All they have to do is pick up that cell phone, hit one number, and it goes right to the Coast Guard, the fire department.
That's right. I made all the meetings for the Mayor's Commission on Water Safety. Along with the solar towers, we put a digital sign out that links about rip current alerts. There are more drownings in the past 3 years on Lake Michigan than the entire California coastline, which is tragic. And so we're trying to educate everyone. And with Sea Grant's brochure on rip currents that are handed out now at every state park, every waterway, every city along our coastline, we've really brought awareness to the tragic fact that it takes many lives here in the Great Lakes every year. About 2 years ago, I was featured speaker along with my twin brother, Lee the Water Flea, at Blue Harbor Resort for the Great Lakes Convention of Sea Grant. We were going to invite them to the Dairyland Surf Classic that year anyway, so we presented them with the award that we were going to give them a few months early, the Outstanding Service of the Great Lakes Surf Community Award. You only get this once in your lifetime, and what it does, it focuses on what you've done for the Great Lakes surf community. Sometimes it's a surfer who's brought rip current awareness to the Great Lakes. It could be a filmmaker, but by spotlighting the surfing community and helping in any way that they can, Sea Grant has certainly been a part of that, bringing this awareness of cleanliness of waterways or beach access and many other different issues. By spotlighting them, it brought more PR to what they are all about, and we're very proud to give them that award. Outstanding Service of the Great Lakes Surf Community Award.
Okay, well, thanks, guys. Any last thoughts or shouts out to surfers out in the big world?
Let's keep in mind that these spots are planet Earth. This is an Earth we share. It's all of us together. It's the aloha spirit that the Hawaiians remind us about, this kindness and sharing. This camaraderie that we have in the water should also take place on the beach and inland. It's amazing because I've been surfing the Great Lakes probably longer than anybody else. People back out of waves or try to give me waves, and I'll yell to the young kids, no, no, go for it, it's yours, it's yours. I've had tens of thousands, maybe millions of waves. It's your turn now. And to share the Stoka surfing with these young people, they can't believe that I'm talking to them. Do you know who you are? And I'll either give them a tip or smile and say, hey, I saw you out there, kid, today. You're doing all right. And I'll hear years later that they never forgot that compliment. So give compliments, share what you have. We're all in it together.
And remember, surfing's a lifestyle.
What is the Hot Cats Board? It's for a series on Lake Michigan. Ah. See Wisconsin, see Grant. We're all free.
Oh, you got it caught on your phone. Now you smell my cup of kombucha. Yeah. Hi. Shoot. What do you call her?
I call her Doggus.
Doggus?
Yeah.
Ah, Doggus.
All right, it's time to get back on the road and head south towards the next podcast. There's still a lot to learn and a lot of miles to go, so this is Chris Bocast. Till next time. This recording was produced by Chris Bocast for the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute. Thanks for listening.